Ernest came to Piemont in about 1947, and he didn't start off as a doctor there.
No, he came, I suppose you could say he came as a patient, but he'd been in many hospitals as a patient of TB, tuberculosis. But he was there at the time of 1947, and that's when he was probably cured.
And after being cured, he stayed on as a doctor?
Well, he applied to be taken on to the staff, and they very kindly took him on, and that's where he stayed for the most of his medical life. He had already qualified before the last breakdown of his health, so he had the elementary medical degree, but he hadn't had any of the practical.
Right. He must have been one of the first to be treated with the new drugs?
I think possibly he was. Streptomycin was what finally got to whatever was wrong with him. So he probably was.
And there were still other treatments in the hospital when he became a doctor there?
Oh yes, there were several. I suppose we could say really they didn't really work, but they worked for a time. But they didn't really get to the root of killing the bacillus.
Until the streptomycin
came in, yes.
And then all the triple therapies, was it?
Well, I think they had to use the triple therapies because TB became resistant very quickly to one drug. So they combined it. But I don't know too much about that because I'm not
okay,
a medical
but,
person.
Yes, I understand. But he practiced there. He was the assistant resident medical superintendent, and he became the senior resident medical superintendent until he retired in 83 and then continued on. He must have seen a lot of changes. And I mean, I suppose mostly there was a lot of drug treatment in his time.
He did see a lot of changes, and I think the drug treatment didn't change too much. But Dr. Logan, who was his predecessor as the RMS, often said that we weren't doing enough to get another drug, and he was afraid that it might, it might become resistant to everything we had. But he was a very clever man, Dr. Logan. But thank God things have worked out that we are still curing, yes.
Tuberculosis. So he saw the change over from tuberculosis to maybe cancer treatment and other lung treatment and the unit for people with disabilities. All
yes.
That came in his time.
Oh, yeah. Certainly the unit for disabilities came and was a great success. They took older patients from the homes in order to make room for the younger people who would have been coming in there who could have got more benefit from any treatment that was going. And they seemed very happy to come. They found work for them to do. Firms were very good at sponsoring jobs for them, like Smurfits and the box making, and Aer Lingus was another one, and there were two or three other things they used to do.
And you mentioned the glove making, was a bit earlier,
The glove making was a bit earlier. That was for patients who had gone home and weren't able to cope and had to come back, and they had to have their work in life structured to suit their illness. But there was also the carpentry in that time as well, which was a very prolific organisation.
Yeah, and you said they did the crucifix for the church.
Yes, that was one patient did that. He carved this crucifix, very large crucifix, and still in the church there.
And you mentioned the little houses they used to make.
Yes, they were funny little houses, possibly just take one person, but they were made for patients who were at home and had children at home, and it wasn't a good thing for them to be sleeping in the same house as a patient, TB patient. So they put them in the gardens for them to sleep in.
And the patient slept in the garden.
And the patient slept in the garden, yes, and went about her daily work or his daily work.
And what did the little house look like?
It was basically four, three timber walls, and the other wall was one huge big sash window. And I think there was either a door on the side or the back.
Right. Okay, so that was part of the industries. And you said there was knitting also?
Yeah, that came quite late. It was quite a small industry, if it was an industry at all. Maybe it was just a knitting circle, but certainly men took part in the knitting.
Now, your husband enjoyed great friendships in the hospital, and you said he was friendly with Paddy Hillary, President Hillary.
Yes.
They came from the same part of the country.
Well, they both came from County Clare. Paddy from Milltown Malby and Ernie from Kilkee. But they were friends, and he, as a going away present, they invited Dr. Hillary to come to dinner.
To Ernest's retirement.
To earn his retirement, yes. And they got together then, and we got a lot of photographs of them at that.
You said he also worked with Noel Brown.
Yes. I'd met Noel Brown once, but he met him on several occasions when he came out to the hospitals. And Noel Brown had ideas of its own as to how many patients should be in the hospital, and kind of reorganised the wards to fit them in.
To put in more people.
Or more people. He also, I think, he used some other recreational rooms and turned them into wards as well.
So he was...
Some of the nurses' home too.
So he was dead set to get as many patients in as
exactly,
possible.
Exactly, yes. But he made a great difference to TB. He really took it by the scruff of the neck and shook it to cure it.
Now, your husband retired in 87.
Yes.
And he enjoyed good health for some time.
He did, but he had this Alzheimer's coming on, and... which, of course, he didn't like to admit it. Who would?
Yes.
But it was there, and that was really, we had to put up with it.
Yeah.
From then on. But it was very sad that he didn't enjoy a full retirement as
yes.
he could have had.
Yeah. So you cared for him for a long time?
I cared for him, for a fair long time, yes, for as long as he lived I cared for him, but Piemont itself was wonderful to me as well, because they helped me, they took him when for respite and gave advice, and Dr. Corcoran, who was his doctor there, was very good to him as well, but, and then of course they took him in when he really was, I couldn't manage to nurse him anymore.
You said he was very comfortable in the surroundings in Piemont.
He was. And the fact that he seemed to know the nurses, even when he didn't know us so well, but he always knew them, and that was a great comfort to him. And he never saw the big house, but he gave a big sigh and said, I used to work there.
Ah.
And that was a comfort to us, because we knew that he wasn't resenting
being there.
He was somewhere where he knew he loved and wanted to be.
Well, it's great, and sort of compliment to the hospital.
It is
that he was so happy to be there.
Yeah, and I have to say, to this day, any time I go there, they have the most wonderful staff. They really have. It's not that they're all over you. It's the fact that they're kind of letting people be themselves, and there's no great routine except to eat what you're told to eat. And but they are wonderful staff, there's no doubt about it, and always have been. I think it's always been noted for its staff there. But I certainly found them wonderful. Although they haven't, there's nothing luxurious about it. They haven't really moved too far at the luxury.
One thing I didn't ask you about was, you know, you were the wife of the chief medical officer there. Was there a social life for you as part of being part of Piedmont?
I don't think being the wife of anybody like that carried a great deal of weight, because if you have a large family, you can't have a terribly hectic social life. But there were social things. There were dances in the nurses' home, and there were whist drives, which were very popular, and croquet on the lawn, which sounds very grand, but
it happened.
It just happened there, yes.
And you enjoyed that?
Very much so, yes. But there was one dance every year. Now, it was a Piedmont dance, but I think it was a charity dance for Piedmont, I'm not sure. But it was the highlight of the year, and everybody went to that.
And you said you spent a lot of time going to openings of hospitals.
Yeah, it seemed like that anyway. Whether that was Dr. Brown's doing, I don't know, because there was Blanchardstown and Ballyhoane was the other one, and the N4 here. And then Crooksling was reorganised. That had to be reopened again. That was opened. And I think that was about the
high probably level. New wings to hospitals as well, maybe.
Well, don't know what that. I suppose Crooksling was always TB. I can't quite remember whether it became for a nursing home later on. Probably did, but it did need. If you'd seen Crooksling, you'd have known. It really, I think, should have been pulled down and put up again, because it was hidden up there in the trees and. On the Blessington Road, and it was in pretty bad condition, but it turned it into a very nice hospital in the end.
Good.
But it's very hidden away up there.
Okay, so you've good memories of Piedmont.
Very good memories of Piedmont. They were very good to me, I must say.